Welcome to the University of Life podcast. I'm your host, Sean Roundy, and today we're discussing the four standards, which is a system we've developed that will help you to balance your life in 30 seconds per day, which I know sounds preposterous and ridiculous. Modern life is way too hectic. It's just a big circus. How can it possibly be balanced in 30 seconds per day? But that's what we'll show you. And in fact, the metaphor of the circus is perfectly apt, and that's what we've opted to use to kind of convey this. And so notice, by the way, if you're just listening to this podcast, that there is a visual version available at uoflife.com/standards, or just click on the podcasts link and you can find it, and it'll help explain this information that much more clearly. But there's an image of the big top. They just came up, a circus, with four big towers with flags on top. And those are what we call standards. And these represent the four elements of human life that you cannot ignore. You cannot deny them and pretend you don't need to balance them. And if you don't take care of one of these elements, then see those wires that go from one flag to the next? They pull against each other and throw your whole life out of balance. So that's what we're going to cover. First, the four standards, the four areas of your life. And second, how you can bring them all into balance, like we said, in 30 seconds a day. So let's get started. We'll look at the first standard, which we call the physical standard. This obviously is your body, part of mortality, inescapable, and it has a big effect on us. So we're going to look at two aspects of this, and the first one is, and we'll do this with each of the quadrants, we'll look at the attributes of it. And obviously this is not even the beginning of an exhaustive list, but it's a group of really interesting things that will give you some insight into it and some appreciation for these areas, maybe even some motivation to do more about it than you have in the past. So the first thing that comes to mind when I think of the physical standard is instant results. If you close your mouth and plug your nose, you don't go long before you start to really desire a breath. And then you panic as the carbon dioxide builds up in your veins, and then you die, or at least you pass out and hopefully start breathing again. And we'll talk more about these instant results in a minute. It's not all a bad thing. Second, you're probably familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where there are certain needs, negative feedback loops they're called, where if you don't have them met, you don't care about anything else. If you can't breathe, then you'd rather take a breath than win the $1 million lottery, right? Because what good is $1 million if you're dead? Besides, what's $1 million lottery compared to $350 million or whatever? So physical needs, to some degree, trump other needs. That's a good thing to be aware of. Accommodation is a really, really useful and interesting, important medical term. And it happens when, let's say you get sick and your body throws up a fever, it spikes a fever to kill off the virus. And it does a pretty good job and you get better. But that puts a lot of demands on the body's systems to deal with that virus. And so maybe when you're almost better, it stops fighting them and just accommodates them, shoves them into your cells and just guards them there like in a prison. And that also takes some drain on your body. And so if you've done things to your body, if you've ingested things that were unhealthy or not taking care of it, you just need to know that just because you go eat some spinach and get a good night's rest, it doesn't make it all go away necessarily. You need to take constant care of your body because it can come back for you. By the way, a great example of this is when you start to get sick or stressed out, fever blisters sometimes pop out on your lips, right? That's because your body was accommodating some of that herpes virus there. And when it's stressed out and has other priorities, suddenly there's a jailbreak and you have a little outbreak of it. So there's accommodation. Resilience, you know, if you have a really healthy body, you're just more resilient. You fight off diseases, you recover better from injury. It affects your weight, your vitality, aging. Talk about quality of life, right? This is so important. You've got to take care of your body. Inheritance. Here's some good news and some bad news. Now, we've always known that we get a lot of our physical traits passed down to us from our ancestors. And maybe you've blamed that blamed certain undesirable, you know, your nose or your health or your height or your weight or something on your inheritance. And, or maybe something desirable, you know, your intelligence, maybe even your quick wit, who knows? Well, there's good news and bad. I guess this is just good news. What they're finally realizing in science is, a lot of us have known this for a while, but they're now we're able to prove it. It's really cool that a lot of these things are reversible. They're changeable for better and worse. And it's not just your physical nature. It's your emotional nature as well. For example, really quickly, a study I read a few weeks ago was about they took some mice that had been abused as children, and then they had a litter, became mothers, and they were bad mothers. And then they did all the, I won't give you, go into all the details, but what they realized is that a lot of things like being a nurturing mother, you know, a very emotional thing, which of course is based on hormones and such, in this case, oxytocin production, is a result of, they call it gene expression in your DNA. And if you have a negative emotional experience, for example, in this case, then that gene pair can get methylated, and that suppresses gene expression. So you don't produce as much oxytocin, so you're not as good of a mother. And so things can change for better and for worse. You're not just a product of your past. So that's good news. We'll talk maybe later, or at least elsewhere on youoflife.com, about how you can change things that are that deep. All right, now, so those are some of the, a few, just scraping the surface of the attributes of the physical standard. Now let's look at some of the things you can do to balance your physical standard, bring it back into balance. Obviously, you need enough calories to function, so have some breakfast. You also need enough nutrition in those calories that your body can function optimally and stay energetic and healthy and look good and stay young, you know, for a longer time. You need enough rest, no getting around it, and no Red Bull. Just because you have a lot of energy, that is not the same thing as adequate rest. You need to get that rest for your health and well-being, your physical standard. It's very important. Exercise, also very important. And then interventions. Let's say you get sick or something, or maybe you know you have some of that accommodation. You want to go find someone who can help get it out. Sometimes you need to go kind of to the next step. So now let's take a look again at this big top. And I want you to remind you of these wires that we mentioned. See how all the different standards are connected. Let's talk a little bit about those cross wires that link the physical standard to the other standard. So first one is mental. If you don't eat, sleep, rest enough, take care of your health, you can't think as clearly, as long, you won't perform as well, and it's not nearly as fun because mental is awesome. Emotional, same thing. It's like that Snickers ad where you're just not the same person when you're hungry or tired and cranky. And spiritual, if your mind and your heart are not clear, how are you ever going to detect those subtle influences of your spiritual nature, which is a very important part of you, you know? So take care of your physical standard. It's going to pay off dividends all kinds of different ways. Now, here's the second way we use the term standards in this system, and that is just personal goals, whatever goals you want to set. So some example ones you could set for your physical standards, and at the end of the program, we'll show you how to use this in 30 seconds a day and make it very effective. You could choose to eat some greens daily, get some spinach and bananas and almond milk, and make yourself some smoothies. It's good, and it's healthy, and it's quick, it's so easy. Walk 1 mile. You know, if 1 mile is a long ways for you, you really need to walk 1 mile. Build up to it if you need to. But boy, so crucial. And now this is one of the great benefits. Remember that first attribute we mentioned of the physical standard, that it gets instant results. If you can't walk 1 mile, then walking 100 yards will help you tremendously. If you've been chain smoking 3 packs a day, I don't remember the statistics offhand, I'm sure you've heard them, but quitting instantly, like within a couple months or something, doubles your lifespan, but you know, takes off half of the years that smoking was going to take from you. So it makes a big difference. The first effort, huge difference. 10 p.m. bedtime or something appropriate for yourself. Go get a checkup for a doctor, whatever goals you've got. There are just some examples for you. Let's take a look now at the second standard, the mental standard, and let's look at some of its attributes. There are basically two parts of your brain. Well, there are many ways you can break it down, but I like to break it down. The most important distinction is the conscious, which is like the prefrontal cortex, the front of your brain. This is where it's there to solve problems. If you just focus on something, it'll figure it out if you focus long enough. It's so cool. This is where you can make choice. This is where you have choice and control over your destiny. Very exciting, right? But the problem is that the subconscious is really the part that's in charge. It knows, like, what do they say, 2/10 of a second before your conscious mind knows when you're going to move your hand or something. It is really in charge. And belief systems, oh, they go deep. And one problem with them is your subconscious is not rational like your conscious. It's survival oriented. It wants to keep you alive. And so if it finds something scary, like let's say you just got hurt in a relationship, it's going to kick up fear and keep you away from making that same mistake again. It can really impede your happiness. It's problematic. So it's important to understand how the subconscious works. First off, it's symbolic in its processing. It doesn't use language, doesn't use words. Once you understand something like, oh, I am sabotaging myself, that's not the end of the road. You still have to get it to go deeper. And so using metaphors and experience sometimes can be more effective in getting there. And sometimes if you know how to access your subconscious through your emotions, that's another language it speaks. And you can, I won't go into a detail on this in this video, but also, by the way, the subconscious detests dissonance. It can't stand to be wrong. If it believes that all men are jerks or that you'll never win or that, you know, nobody loves you, then no matter how much evidence and proof comes in to show that you are loved and that people can be kind and such, your subconscious would rather twist that around, put up its filter, hide it from you, than change its mind. That's important to know. Let's go on and let's see some of the ways to balance these things out. First off, exercise. And I'm not talking about exercising your body, although that does help your blood flow and oxygen levels and health and vitality. So it does help your brain. I'm talking about exercising your brain. And this is what studies have been showing for probably decades now, that if you don't use your brain, you will lose it. If you do your Sudoku puzzle, you're way less likely to get Alzheimer's, for example. So use it. Keep it strong and sharp. Develop critical thinking skills. As you listen to the news, you know what? It's all so, well, not all of it, but so much of it, so biased and so sloppy these days. So listen to different sources, for example, and weigh it out and decide what you really think. For example, choose what you want to believe. In some cases, whatever you choose becomes true. Are you lovable? Yes, you are. If you don't believe it, well, you're not going to experience that. You know, you don't actually, none of us experience reality. We only experience our perception of reality. So choose your perceptions and get more out of it all. Pondering is a great way to let these things sink in deeply and into your subconscious even and affect it. That's one way to affect it and let new neural connections branch out and replace the old ones. Oh, another great way to do that, by the way, is to blend. If you have a fear, for example, or a hurt, something negative, feel that and then think positive things at the same time. My favorite example is a friend, social worker and dance therapist. She was working with a teenager who was the soccer team captain. She was awesome on the field. But when she walked down the hall at school, she felt like a loser, like a nobody. And so by thinking those two thoughts at the same time, her brain connected them. And suddenly when she walked down that hallway, her brain was also firing off the neurons about being the soccer team captain. Awesome, invincible, aggressive in a good way. And it really helped her through with that. So there's that. All right, now let's take a look at some of the mental crosswires that exist, which of course is everyone. We've talked about physical. If you keep yourself smart, good critical thinker, maybe you'll take better care of yourself. So it goes both ways. Emotions, do you know they actually come, they kind of originate with your thoughts? They fire off their little chemicals in the same synapses as your dendrites, you know, as you're thinking. happens on. So it can really impact your emotions. We'll talk more about that in a moment. And spiritual, you can learn so much. And a lot of spirituality takes so much focus and concentration and learning and mental growth as well. They're really closely linked. So take care of your mind. And here are some sample goals, some mental standards. Read something daily. Read the news, for example. Have challenging discussions. Take, you know, see things from all sides. Don't just be an idiot and think you're the only one with good ideas, you know, and see the validity in someone's argument. You may not agree with them, but at least use your brain to see from their point of view. That's a smart critical thinking ability. Meditate. How long can you even focus? You know, we've been trained to be such a short attention span kind of society. But anyway, it doesn't have to be that way. Let's take a look now at the emotional standard, the next one, and some attributes here. Emotions are so powerful. Not only do we feel and experience them so powerfully, but they're, you know, our emotional center in the bottom of our hippocampus, that's really closely tied to our decision-making center. And so emotion, the more important the decision, the more emotion factors into it, not just logic and being rational, by the way. Also the reward center, you know, addiction, that's in that same area. It's based on emotional rewards. So a lot of motivation tied in, very, very powerful. Just like physical had the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, so does emotional. Once you've got at least a little bit of food and oxygen, security and social needs come next. You might be willing to forego some food just to have some good company. They originate from your thoughts, as we pointed out earlier. And here's the thing, emotions can be really tricky. You've heard of the term, the phrase emotional thinking. That's because emotions make us feel like our perceptions and our beliefs are true because we feel them. And we erroneously believe that makes them true. You've got to be careful with that. Now, there are some feelings that do connote truth, but you've got to be really careful with that. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we hit the spiritual standard, the last one. Let's look at some of the balancing things you can do. First, take responsibility for your emotions. Holy cow, it's out of control the way people lose their temper these days, and they don't even realize that it's their emotions are their responsibility. Just because someone cuts you off in traffic or something doesn't give you the right to be a jerk and you know, cut them off again. Grow up. It's your emotions are your problem. Now, they're not all bad. Like anger, for example, sometimes that can be very healthy, productive, and valid. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying take responsibility. Invest in feeling good long term. So if you're one of those people who, for example, emotional eating to make you feel better, be careful with that. Search out and find things that make you feel better, but don't make you feel worse an hour from now or tomorrow or next year. Identify your long-term feel-good activities. Foster a healthy environment. Choose good friends, for example, right? Let your feelings flow. Don't stifle them. Even negative ones, like some people might call emotion or anger. You know, if you just bottle it up, that's not really healthy. You don't have to express it. You don't have to hit anyone. You don't even have to shout, at least not when it's going to be unproductive. But maybe go for a drive, and while you're safe, not too much traffic, yell it out, let it out. You know, that's the healthy way to go through your emotions and let them go. Face fear safely, because fear, that is one of the things that holds us back from our goals and dreams most, right? So find ways to do it just incrementally, even like write about it in a journal. Very comfortable, very safe. You don't even have to commit to doing anything. And your fears kind of break down. You get a little more comfortable, a little more confidence. Love yourself. No exceptions on this one. I'm serious. We're trained so often not to find fault and to doubt. And if you love yourself or say anything good about yourself, you must be vain or proud. Not true. All right. I think the people who are vain and proud are afraid and they don't really know how to love themselves. So don't you follow their path. Beat it. Okay, let's look at some emotional crosswires. Emotions really change the chemistry of your body, really affects your health. Super important. So choose healthy emotions, foster them. Mental, similar. This is going longer than I expected, so I'm going to cruise through a little bit. Spiritual also, you know, positive emotions can help foster your spirituality where you can enjoy it so much more. sample emotional standards, spend some time with friends, or make some new ones. Say hello to someone new at work or school. Breathe deeply before speaking when upset. Walk in the park during lunch. Choose positive media to watch or read, or, you know, things that make you feel healthy. I'm not just excited, but I mean, you know, there's place for everything, I guess, but take care of yourself. That's the point. All right, let's take a look. So these are the three standards everyone's kind of aware of: your body, your mind, your emotions. Pretty aware of that. But if you stop with these three and don't take care of the next one, then you're kind of like a chair with one leg missing. It's just not stable, and you've got to put your foot down to keep yourself from tipping over. So let's look at this fourth crucial standard, the spiritual standard. I think these get progressively more exciting as we go along. So some attributes of this, and again, I can barely begin to scrape the surface of, you know, these standards and all the cool things about them. Spirituality, it means different things to a lot of different people, but one of the important aspects of it, I think, is an intuitive awareness. We have a way of knowing things that's beyond just our eyes and ears, you know, our five senses. And if you can learn to tap into that, it can give you so much growth, so much satisfaction, so much safety, so many good things. So I just wanted to kind of define that. You can learn to recognize it, kind of a sense of truth, you know, clarity, peace, and it can be very powerful. But other times it can be very subtle and it's very easily misunderstood. Maybe you think you get a spiritual message, you know, or an intuitive knowing. There's so many different types of intuition, by the way. And you might be right, but you might only be partially right. So it takes so much practice, you know, and constantly asking, is there more? Is there more? And double checking that you got it right. So it's tricky like that. It's love and growth oriented. It doesn't want you to just be happy and sit there for the rest of your life. It wants you to grow, face some fears sometimes, but come out on top. Very exciting stuff. And it gives exponential results. If you put a little effort in, you'll get a little result. If you put a lot in, you'll get a lot more. But if you really push your limits of this, sometimes it can just take off and you can get incredible miracles happening. Let's look at some ways we can actually do this. Humility is a great start. Soften your heart like this. Humility is not weakness. It doesn't mean you let anybody walk on you. It just means, you know, you're not resisting everything and you're not fighting and you're open to things. It's a really good feeling, probably one of the most undervalued aspects there are in our society. Seek a higher power. You know, you can pray. You can ask for things. See what happens. Keep a journal, right? Observe connection to others. Look in someone's eyes, for example. Did I list that? No, not yet. I list that below. And have empathy. Feel what they're feeling. These all use similar circuits in our bodies that help us to connect to other people, and it can train us to be aware and to understand them and enjoy them so much better. Love more. I love what one of the things Henry David Thoreau said. He said, the only remedy for love is to love more. That's awesome. Maybe we think we're decent people and we love some, but we barely scrape the surface of what's possible. And if you try, you will learn more of what's possible and you can be an example to everyone else. Make it personal. A lot of people equate spirituality with being religious, and there's certainly a tie. Religions can give a foundation. They can teach, you know, their truths as they see them. They can give social support and such. But If you're just there for the dogma and think, well, I'm going to heaven because I did this, that is not enough. Not enough. You've got to make it personal. You've got to make a connection to the divine and the divine within yourself as well to really get the most out of it. So make it personal. Okay, cross wires, physical, spiritual. Not only can it lighten your, well, let's look at all these at the same time. Not only can it lighten your emotion, which, again, as I said before, it fixes up, it improves your body chemistry, which influences your body. It gives you mental clarity. You can see things and learn faster. Peace is one of the hallmarks of spirituality. So there's another good emotional thing. Lots of good connections back and forth. Some sample goals: read and ponder wisdom literature, you know, the Bible, the Book of Mormon, the Quran, just wise books that people have written. And just look for the good in them. You don't have to believe them all, but just be open for that. And here's, if you're reading this kind of stuff, looking for insight, if something strikes you, then just stop right there and ponder it. Don't read it just to get through. You'll miss out on the best part because spirituality takes time to sink in. So let it, and then that's when it transforms you. That's when it's really awesome. Pray and listen for answers. Sometimes they're loud and clear. Sometimes they're so quiet. You assume it's just your imagination, and it takes so much practice to really distinguish. But don't quit trying. Meditate somewhere peaceful. Make eye contact and connect with your friends, with strangers, you know, people in the store. It's really rewarding. It's really cool. It really fulfills an intrinsic human need to connect. And like I said, it uses similar circuits, so it helps train you in spirituality. Show love and kindness. All right, now we're to the last part. So we've gone over our four standards, and we've talked about setting goals. We're going to talk about the steps of the daily review and how to use this knowledge to balance your life in 30 seconds per day. So first, set personal standards. Make goals in each area, at least wherever you want to focus for the time being. And you can find this sheet, a score sheet, at uoflife.com/standards. And it just makes it really easy to keep track. So you'll notice on the left side, there's your place where you can write your goals. And just, you know, make whatever goals you want. And then the next thing you'll do is you'll add multipliers, and that's optional. And what that means, look in the second column where it has the X on top. If one of your goals is really important to you and you want it to be weighted more, just put a 2 or a 3 or something there. And then the score you earn every day, you can double that and get more from it. Next, every day, just give yourself a score, 0 through 3. If you did nothing, 0. If you put in a little effort, give yourself a 1. If you did awesome, give yourself a 3. Simple as that. This is the main part of this system. You know, and then calculate your daily score and then revise your goals, your standards as desired. Because as you fill this out, first off, you reward yourself every time you do something. And even if you do a little bit, you still get a point. In setting and accomplishing goals, it's so crucial to make it a positive experience, because that's going to trigger that part I mentioned earlier in your hypothalamus as a positive reaction. It will train you to love goals. Believe it or not, you will love effort and accomplishment. And that means success. If you love to work and improve and try, that means success. Second of all, if you put 0s too many days in a row, you're going to get sick of it. You're going to say, fine, I'll run 1 mile or, you know, 100 feet so I can give myself a 1. So there's another good motivation. And then, of course, you can put really easy goals if you need to, but a little bit challenging also tends to be more effective according to the science. Then just tally up your daily score along the bottom there and let that motivate you. Keep it a positive experience. So this has been our four standards presentation, balancing your life in 30 seconds per day. I hope you've enjoyed it and found it useful. I hope you'll use the system. And if you do, I'd really love to hear in the comments section on uoflife.com/standards how it's working for you. Good luck. You know, we're here, we're making these programs because we believe, we want you to thrive, and we know that you're capable of it and you deserve it. And all you need to know is how to do it and then put in a little effort. And that's what the system is for, to make that not too much effort, make it reachable for everyone. So good luck and go thrive. Talk to you next time.